Well, also in the news this week, researchers in Seattle have discovered that, at least as far as gut bugs go, you have to be the right shape to be a success. We knew that size was important in some contexts. Shape now turns out to be equally so. The bacteria in question are Helicobacter pylori, and this bacteria lives in our digestive system, and it's also been linked to the formation of stomach ulcers and stomach cancer. Now, intriguingly, it has a very distinctive spiral shape, which scientists have thought was there to help the bacteria to survive and also move around in the gut. But new research has now shown that the spiral bacteria definitely do a lot better than if we straighten them out and make mutant forms that don't have that spiral shape. And so this suggests there might be a clue there as to new ways that we can fend off this infection. And joining us to explain how they've discovered this from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Centre in Seattle is Dr. Nina Salama. Hello, Nina.
Hello.
Welcome to The Naked Scientist. Tell us, if you would, first of all, what is H. pylori in a little bit more detail than I went into, and how does it cause disease?
Helicobacter pylori is a bacterium that lives in the stomach. And when it was discovered in the early 80s by Barry Marshall and Robin Warren from Australia, their finding was pretty revolutionary, because people thought that no bacteria lived in the stomach because of its high acidity. But these bacteria live in this very thick mucus that protects our stomach cells from the acid in the lumen, and these scientists cultured them from patients with ulcers because, as you say, this bacterium is associated with development of ulcers. But it turns out that about half of the world carries this bacteria in their stomach. And what it does is it causes inflammation. Most people survive with this inflammation and aren't bothered by it, but some people will get ulcers, and then a smaller number of people can actually get gastric cancer. And Helicobacter pylori is the only bug at this point listed as a carcinogen by the World Health Organization.
So obviously finding ways to make it less likely that a person will become colonized and carry the bug would be very, very helpful, because it means that then there'd be less prospect of at least some people developing those stomach pathologies that you mentioned. But tell us about the shape of the bacterium.
Well, as you say, Helicobacter pylori, sort of evident in its name, is a helical rod-shaped bacteria. Thus, it looks kind of like a spiral. And what we wanted to ask was whether shape really was important for it to be able to colonize in its niche, the stomach mucosa. So what we did was look for mutant forms of the bacteria where individual genes had been inactivated that now had lost normal shape. And interestingly, we found quite a number of different bacteria inactivated in different genes, indicating that the bacteria have a whole program to enact this shape. So the study that we just published analyzed four genes that seem to work together to make this normal helical shape by modifying the cell wall and basically taking this cage, which wraps around the bacteria and gives it its shape, by making little snips in that cage to make it more flexible so that it can turn into this helix and have the appropriate twist and curvature to make the helical shape.
So the obvious thing to do is you've identified what those genes are, then you can go in and deactivate them. And what happens to bacteria if you switch off the genes that normally make them like a corkscrew shape?
It's kind of interesting. If we grow them in the lab in broth, they are just fine. They grow normally, they swim normally, and they appear to be not more sensitive to stresses like acid or some of the defense molecules that our bodies secrete to kill bacteria. They seem to be just fine. But if we take them now and try to infect them into the mouse stomach, because that is the model that we use since we don't do experiments on humans, now these strains with an abnormal shape cannot colonize the stomach.
Do you know why?
That is a really good question. We don't know exactly why. So the previous idea in the field was that it might help with motility, the ability of the bacteria to swim out of the acid part of the stomach in the lumen down into this mucus layer and next to the cells. But what we found is that they appear to swim normally, both in regular broth and in conditions where we make a gel-like matrix to mimic the thick mucus gel that overlies their stomach. And we watch the bugs by live video microscopy. We basically can't find any differences in velocity. So now we're left to try to figure this out. So the good news is that we have this animal model where we can see a difference in the way the bacteria colonize. And so now we're trying to go in and look where the bacteria go, how that differs from the normal spiral-shaped bacteria, and try to get to the bottom of it.
And finally, Nina, presumably because you found that these genes, if they're not working, and you know how they work, which is helpful, they seriously disable the bug. This presumably means you can now start to look for potential drugs that could target those genes and the things that those genes make, because that might be a new way to treat or decolonize people who are carrying H. pylori.
Yes, in fact, that was a very exciting thing about our findings, is that three of the four proteins, our work uncovered, appear to have a very specific biochemical activity in that they can cleave a peptide bond. And so having an enzyme, as it were, that's functioning in your process makes a real possibility for screening for inhibitors of these enzymes that presumably then could render the bacteria unable to colonize. And another good thing is that these enzymes aren't found in human cells. So that's the other trick when you try to develop a drug against bacteria, is you want something that's specific to the bacterium but it's not going to hurt our own cells.
So you can make it highly selective. Nina, thank you very much. We have to leave it there. Dr. Nina Salama from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Centre in Seattle. She's published that work this week in the journal Cell. We'll put details of that study, plus all of the other things we've been talking about so far on the show, on our website, nakedscientist.com, and it'll be in the news section. So that's nakedscientist.com/news.
Bringing the facts to bear. The Naked Scientists.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith, Helen Scales and Dominic Ford. We're answering your science questions this week, and also on the way we'll hear from Mira, who's been having a lovely time at the Chelsea Flower Show, to find out how to bring a bit of biodiversity into your garden.
If you'd like to get in touch with us through Twitter, it's at Naked Scientists, or you can email us, Chris@thenakedscientist.com.